The Bible and Modern Science with your host, Dr. Joseph Henson of the Science Faculty of Bob Jones University. Here is Dr. Henson.
Thank you. We have spent a number of programs listening to ideas of men who have rejected Scripture as a basis of information about the origin of things. And I think we'll draw this to a close with this program. There are several others whose comments I think are worth our noting. And my point in doing all of this is simply to help Bible believers understand, put it very simply and bluntly, unregenerate man has no answers about that. They can speculate about it. They can guess. They can make assumptions. They can make them all sound very scientific in some regard, but there still is no answer. And the honest ones of them will admit it, as we're going to see in some of the quotes that we're going to look at today. Now, there is an article that was written by a man by the name of Corey S. Powell and Madhurushi Mukherjee. He wrote the article in Scientific American. It was called Cosmic Puffery, which I find an interesting title for an article. But on page 22, they made this comment, quote, "Such obliging flexibility engenders a disturbing sense that cosmological theory resembles an endlessly nested set of matryoshka dolls. Each refinement of the Big Bang delves deeper into abstruse theory, which grows progressively harder to prove or disprove," end quote. Now, this comment was pointed primarily at the idea of the Big Bang, but it's pertinent to some of the others as well. You make an assumption, and then you have to have some support for that. You make another assumption. This brings to mind a very basic notion in philosophy. Every philosophy has to start somewhere, and those starting points, certainly for unbiblical philosophies, always are simply assumptions. There's nothing wrong with that, as I've observed before, but it is important to understand that they're just assumptions. So you have men here who are starting off their philosophies with an assumption and then trying to make them appear to be something other than an assumption. Now, there was an article that appeared in the New Scientist, Harold Puthoff. It was entitled Everything for Nothing. This gentleman happens to be, again, a theoretical physicist, and he works at the Institute for Advanced Studies in Austin, Texas. Now, again, you've got to listen carefully to this one, but I think you'll find it the conclusion worth listening to. Quote, "And now to the biggest question of all, where did the universe come from? Could quantum fluctuations of empty space have something to do with this as well? Edward Tryon of City University of New York thought so in 1973 when he proposed that our universe may have originated as a fluctuation of the vacuum on a large scale, as simply one of those things which happen from time to time. This idea was later refined and updated within the context of inflationary cosmology by Alexander Vilenkin of Tufts University, who proposed, now listen carefully, who proposed that the universe is created by quantum tunneling from literally nothing into something we call the universe. Although highly speculative, these models indicate that physicists find themselves turning again to the void and fluctuations therein for answers," end quote. Now here, in this individual's mind, the ultimate answer to where the universe came from, it came from quantum tunneling. Now, you try and come up with a simple understanding of what quantum tunneling is, and it gets very interesting. But in essence, this man's answer to the problem is simply a speculation which it is impossible to prove or disprove. So this is simply typical of the kinds of things that we have found ourselves looking at over the last several programs. All the while, some of these men are very engaging. They have tremendous personalities, almost charismatic. They can look at tremendous followings. Their use of scientific terminology and ideas in some cases can be compelling, particularly to a person who doesn't know much about science. And so you have people who simply sit and listen to these things, watch the compelling personality at work, and then walk away saying, oh, well, yeah, I guess this must be an answer to where things have come from. And it really isn't an answer apart from evidence from the Creator who brought things into existence. There is no possibility of any answer, as we have noted several times. Now, I ran across a quote the other day that's not exactly pertinent here, but it was a nasty slap at, well, maybe nasty. You can listen to the quote and see. Only fundamentalist Christians who insist on a literal interpretation of the Bible refuse to accept the biological evidence for evolution. And there goes on with some other comments about that. This was from an article in Free Inquiry by Victor L. Stengel. And the article was entitled, Was the Universe Created? And so I thought it might be of some comfort to you to recognize that fundamental Christians are in a rather small group. Those people who have accepted the Scripture as trustworthy and authoritative are different from other people. We have different views, different ideas. We have different philosophical starting points. And in my opinion, have the only trustworthy, authoritative position to take with regard to those things that occurred prior to the possibility of any human perception or observation of them. Now, Mitchell M. Waldrop, in an article in Science magazine, February 20, 1987, the article was entitled Do-It-Yourself Universes, and there were a couple of things that I thought would be one repetitious, but one perhaps helpful. On page 846, quote, in other words, says Guth, Waldrop now is quoting Guth, a man that we had looked at before. In other words, says Guth, new universes may be constantly coming into existence all around us spontaneously and invisibly. And conversely, since quantum fluctuations are not restricted by Einstein's equations in the same way black holes are, it is entirely possible that our own universe came into existence in this way. End quote. Well, if that's what you want to look at, if that's what you want to conclude is the best answer, and what, by the way, you want to base your eternal destiny on, you're certainly free to do that. But don't try and present these kinds of ideas that universes are coming into existence around us spontaneously and invisibly. Don't, if you're willing to allow your eternal destiny to rest on these kinds of speculations, you're free to do that. But as I have observed before, I suspect very strongly that these gentlemen one day are going to discover that their speculations were wrong. And at the time they discover that, it will be a little late in the game to try and do anything to change their location through eternity. There was also a man by the name of Victor Weisskopf who wrote an article in the American Scientist, September-October issue of 1983. This gentleman is a professor emeritus and the former head of the physics department at MIT. And I mention that simply to demonstrate that his scientific qualifications certainly are without question. Quote, it should be emphasized that all discussions of the development of the cosmos are rather hypothetical because it is very hard to make empirical observations regarding the totality of the universe, and therefore we do not know whether we have caught the real facts. No existing view of the development of the cosmos is completely satisfactory, and this includes the standard model, which leads to certain fundamental questions and problems, end quote. Now, he has made some statements that I at least want to make some observations about. All discussions of the development of the cosmos are rather hypothetical. They're not rather hypothetical. They are completely hypothetical for the simple reason that it was impossible for us to be able to gather scientific information about it. So you start talking about this problem of nothing to something, and apart from revelation from the Creator, you're dealing absolutely with hypothesis. And there is nothing inherently wrong with that as long as you recognize it. But the desire of a great many of the unregenerate scientists is that they want to get away from this hypothesis and have a comfortable answer that will allow them to escape from the obvious necessity of submission to a creator God. Because it is very hard to make empirical observations regarding the totality of the universe. Now, it seems to me he switched horses here. Empirical simply means that these are observations that require the use of senses, things that you can see, hear, taste, touch, smell, etc., feel. Information of this sort is empirical information. Empirical information being the kind of information that you can gather through laboratory experiments. And obviously, it's not hard to make empirical observations. He's saying here the totality of the universe. Now, we talked about this earlier. We live here on a little speck, the Earth, in a minor solar system, in a very unprepossessing galaxy, in an unbelievably large, complex universe. Now, we sit here, and we can, through instrumentation, telescopes and radio telescopes and spectrophotometers and other things, we can get some information from events that are not occurring on the Earth. But the sort of information, the amount of it, the nature of it, is very, very fragmentary. And of necessity always requires some interpretation. So we can do scientific experiments here on the Earth. We can gather information about that. We can come to conclusions about that. And then we can test those conclusions and see how well they fit the facts. But it is arrogant in the extreme to assume that those things that are occurring here are just like this everywhere else. Now, for those of us who accept God as creator, we can look at the creation here on this earth as we see it, and we can come to some conclusions about God's mind and his orderliness and so on. And I suspect the speed of light, for example, is the same off in the boonies in the universe someplace as it is here on earth. But this isn't a scientific statement. It is a statement I make simply as a result of having decided that the best view, the best answer to the question of how, where our universe came from, is an omnipotent, omniscient creator who spoke it into existence and has given us a little bit of information about it.
Thank you, Dr. Henson. You may send email to Dr. Henson at jhenson@bju.edu. That's jhenson@bju.edu. Or write to Dr. Joseph L. Henson, Box 34621, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, zip code 29614, in the United States of America. You're invited to listen next time for The Bible and Modern Science.